You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 23rd of July 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week. It is boiling hot over here in Blighty and I wonder what it's like over there in Texas where my good friend Grandpa Dan resides, who we are all expecting to hear from today, of course. Grandpa Dan, how are you doing today? What's it like over there? Is it hot enough for you?
I scoff at your notion of it's boiling. It's boiling hot there. Trust me, I'm on the sun. I'm on the face of the sun. Trust me, it is. You don't know what hot is. But yes, things are great. Things are great here on the surface of the sun. A little toasty, but I've got the AC blowing. It's nice and cool. I'm not willing to make that sacrifice for the listeners. If you hear it in the background, I don't care because I'm not going to sit here and sweat doing this show. I'm nice and cozy, got a blanket over my legs and everything, ready to go.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You got aircon over there. We don't have that over here in Britain. By the time we sort of get together to put in the aircon together, by that time, it's the end of the summer. So I do hope listeners appreciate what I'm going through here with the fan switched off, sweating away in a puddle on my chair, the things we go through to create listening pleasure for our listeners out there. Well, today we're going to be talking about COVID and the latest insane measures taken to prevent the spread of the pandemic. And we're going to be talking in particular with what's going on in Australia. With Sydney still in lockdown amidst a handful of new COVID-19 cases, the top health official for New South Wales has called for a new level of social distancing inhumanity, not having conversations with other people. Just imagine that. And this comes on top of what they're doing in the Olympics. In the Olympics, you're only allowed to have a conversation for 90 seconds if you are an Olympic sportsman with other sports people. They're not allowed to have anybody in the arenas watching. They're not allowed to eat for more than 10 minutes in the shared area where they are eating. And here we have here in Australia, they're calling for similar, not having conversations at all with other people. And of course, that's on top of being vaxxed and on top of being masked. And I did have to have a look and see what this person is like, what the top health official is like. And it's really, well, she's got a sort of face that's likely to crack mirrors. I mean, even with the low resolution that we get with Google Images, you can see that she has a moustache and a glasses are all disheveled, really not an alpha type human being. And yet apparently she is responsible for health in New South Wales. And she seriously has said that people should not be talking to one another. Otherwise, they're going to spread COVID. Grandpa, what do you make of this new Australian style restriction? Do you think there's a chance of it coming in America?
Well, they tried these in little spells. It's absolutely. I mean, they've got different areas to where they can push it further. It's like the vaccine passport thing. They're in Britain. They said, oh, we're not going to do that. But then they do it. They haven't pushed it here in the U.S. yet because the population here isn't as far along with the program. We read these things. I look at this story. And I just keep thinking to myself, yes, this is all totally normal. She's a total hottie. I don't know what you're talking about as far as this health official, Sven. She's hot. I hope you put her picture up with the story so people could just see how amazingly hot she is. Now, I mean, you would look at this person and say, yes, let's put this person in charge in a position of authority. What could go wrong? All of this, from who's in charge to these narratives they're promoting, is utter and total insanity. If you didn't resist the masks, if you didn't resist any of the rest of this, I mean, at some point, do you hit a breaking point? At some point, does it seem just over the top. I mean, they started, remember, this all started with, we're locking down for what, 2 weeks, so there won't be a surge or whatever. You know, we're just so the hospitals aren't overrun. They told us this was just so the hospitals wouldn't get overrun. We had to spread this out, flatten the curve, they told us. And now here we are over a year later, and it's getting more and more over the top. The masks were ridiculous. They admitted off the bat that the masks don't do anything. And then they now it's everybody has to wear a mask no matter what. And now it's like they wake up one day and say, what can we push today that is more dehumanizing? I know. We'll tell them they're not allowed to talk to one another. It's not enough that you're not allowed to show your facial expressions to one another. Now you're not even allowed to have a conversation because you could kill somebody, apparently.
How are you supposed to communicate at all if you can't talk and you can't show facial expressions? I mean, what they're basically saying is you cannot have any contact with anybody else. And, you know, I thought Canada was probably the worst country for these restrictions, but no, it's Australia. After reporting a whopping 78 new COVID-19 cases and one death in the state, Chief Health Officer Dr. Kerry Chant told reporters on Tuesday that Australians should not engage in conversations, even if both parties were wearing masks and regardless of vaccination status. And this is just incredible. I mean, does this vaccine not work then? I mean, all around the world, they're saying everybody has to get vaccinated. And then they're saying, but you still have to wear a mask. You'll still have to social distance. You might catch COVID from the unvaccinated. It's all the unvaccinated's fault that COVID is being spread around. And yet people that have been vaccinated can still catch COVID. I mean, you've got so many contradictory things that they're actually telling us at the moment. They're trying to force children to get vaccinated at the moment in Britain, and they've just said that they're going to bring in vaccine passports in September. They're going to force people that want to go to nightclubs to get vaccinated, and they're saying that no longer will showing the evidence of a negative test be enough to get into a nightclub. You shouldn't have to do tests to get into a nightclub anyway. The sort of people that go to a nightclub are all going to be under the age of 50, pretty much. And if you're under the age of 50, then you're not really at risk of anything untoward happening to you if you actually catch COVID. And if you have caught COVID, then you're going to be far more immune to it than anybody that has been vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, you're going to be immune to the spike protein, and that's it. If you've actually caught COVID, you're going to be immune to the whole COVID virus. Every part of the virus you're going to be immune to. And going by other studies that have been done on these coronaviruses, that immunity that you actually have is likely to last for 12 years. So to say that people should be getting vaccinated, that's going to keep people safe. That's not going to keep people safe. The only thing that is going to keep people safe is herd immunity. And the way to have done that would have been to just keep the people that were vulnerable at home and allow everybody else to catch this. And that's pretty much what's happening now. You're getting this herd immunity status, I think. Enough people are actually getting it. But the government and the establishment are refusing to admit that. And they're just coming out with more and more crazy things. What do you make of being told, even if you're wearing a mask and if you've been vaccinated, you mustn't talk to people, Grandpa?
This is utterly dehumanizing, or to put it another way, they're taking your humanity from you. And that's not an over-the-top statement. It's literally what they are doing. They make you cover – they try to make you cover up your face. They're threatening you that you can't do this. I heard them say this morning talking about requiring these passports to be able to go out to eat or go to a club or whatever. And they said they framed it as you have to do this for these privileges. So you don't have the right to go wherever the hell you want to. Now it's a privilege. And they were here on the in the U.S. I saw them framing it up this morning as the secondhand smoke argument. See, you can smoke, but you can't put others in danger. They're using that argument now with this vaccination thing. Now, I'm at the point I really believe these contradictions are intentional. This is part of psychologically breaking people down, because we're wired, especially men, we're wired to fix things. We're wired, when we see a problem, our brains start automatically trying to solve the problem. That's just the way we work. And by giving us these constant contradictions, your brain gets all scrambled and confused, because it doesn't make any sense. You can't make sense of it to fix the problem. I saw them this morning in the network news this morning. They're sitting there with an expert, of course, and they said with a straight face, they were, of course, after telling everybody they need to get vaccinated, with a straight face, they sit here and say, we're seeing a phenomenon now where the unvaccinated people are causing the vaccinated to catch COVID. Now, are they openly admitting the vaccine doesn't work? It's an intentional contradiction. This is breaking you down psychologically, covering your face up so that you can't tell the facial expressions of those around you. It's a psychological breaking. It's breaking you down psychological. Now going over the top saying you're not allowed to talk to one another. This is about breaking people down psychologically. And it's just, it's becoming more and more absurd. It's becoming more and more dehumanizing. I've always said I have no idea what this vaccine is or isn't going to do, but I think the most absurd conspiracy of all is to believe that they're going this hard on it because they're really, really worried about your health and safety.
You know, far more people that don't actually have underlying conditions have died after taking the vaccine than people with no underlying conditions died after catching the virus. After catching the virus, people under the age of 60 with no underlying health conditions in Britain, it was 300 and something last year. And it's already well over 1,000 people that have died after being vaccinated. And the risk of having a negative response from the vaccine is twice as likely as it is that you're going to have a negative response from the virus. And particularly if you're young, they've got all these problems with blood clots and thrombocytopenia, particularly with this AstraZeneca thing, because it basically tells your body to create these spike proteins which thickens up the blood, and yet at the same time it's thinning the blood, so your body doesn't quite know what's happening, whether the blood is being thinned or whether it's being thickened. And then you've got this autoimmune response. I mean, it's just a frightening aspect altogether that so many people are getting this vaccine with no idea what the long-term effects of it are going to be. And people say, oh, well, it's totally safe. It's only a small number of people that are having negative effects from it. Well, only a small number of people within 6 months. It's not like we have any idea of what the long-term results are going to actually be of this virus. And it looks like they're still going to continue with all these restrictions and all this advice in which to carry on with these restrictions. I mean, look at this. This is just one person that has died in New South Wales, and now they're coming up with this. Well, Chant continued. She said, whilst it's human nature to engage in conversation with others, to be friendly, unfortunately, this is not the time to do that. So she's basically saying, don't be friendly to anyone. Be unfriendly. I mean, this is just great, isn't it? This is a real recipe for community solidarity, isn't it? Your health minister telling you not to be friendly to one another, not to talk to one another. I mean, I wonder how many people have actually committed suicide from the fact that they haven't actually been able to see anyone and they haven't been able to cope with that. I think the suicide numbers are going through the roof. I couldn't actually quote you exactly what they are. But to have on top of that, to have the health minister saying you should not be friendly, now is not the time to be friendly. I mean, this is scandalous, really, that this is being taken seriously. And it is being taken seriously because she is the health minister for New South Wales.
And not to mention she's smoking hot. No, it's just a good spot to resist. We shouldn't be making fun of her over-the-top attractiveness. I'm surprised she's not on a supermodel shoot somewhere. No, it's a good time to point out also that they've admitted these tests are absolutely fakeable. Anthony Fauci has admitted that if you put the test through enough cycles, every test will come out positive. Now, if you have any ability to put two and two together, it becomes quite clear that they're able to make the numbers whatever they want them to be just by how many cycles they put the test through. I remember last year reading a story that quickly got hushed up. Two nurses took two new tests, didn't swab anybody, took them out of the package, put them back into the where they send them in to be tested, and sent them in just see what would happen, and they came back positive. Not only did the story quickly get hushed up, but the nurses were fired for doing that. But what does that tell us? It tells us that they're making whatever amount of tests they need to make come out positive. So the tests themselves have no real, you can't trust the tests. We know this. They're basically, they've admitted they can fake these numbers to be whatever they want them to be. Now, as you pointed out, Sven, you were talking about the reactions people have had already to these vaccines. That is just the short term, and they're bad enough. That's just the short term. side effects. Nobody knows what the long term is because there are no long. This is the long term study. You are the guinea pig. And so, yeah, who knows? Who knows what it's going to be? I just keep looking at this, and she has the nerve to sit here and say, "Oh, this isn't the time to be able to talk to people." Who does she think she is? I mean, how long are people going to go along with this? All you have to do is refuse to go along with it. That's what's so absurd about it. Everybody's sitting here like, oh, well, they're forcing us. No, they're not. I mean, you're complying. If everybody in the country said, no, we're not going along with this, they would backpedal from it immediately. You know, everybody just has to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And it would immediately go away. The people actually have the power to do this. I was at a gathering of people here about a week or so ago. And I'm glad to say there was literally nobody there wearing a mask. And there's all these people wandering around. It's outside. You got all these people wandering around talking to each other. It's just normal. Nobody wearing a mask. And then one guy shows up and he's walking around out there with a mask. And everybody's looking at this guy like, what is the hell? You know, what the hell is wrong with you? So you see that social pressure works backwards, too. No doubt this guy felt, you know, out of place because he's the only idiot walking around taking this, you know, seriously, acting like this is real. Everybody else knows it's bullshit. The people have the power. All you have to do is just not go along with it. But apparently, as long as you keep going along with it, the next demand is going to be more and more absurd. Now we're at the point she's got the authority to tell you that you can't talk to anybody. When is enough enough?
You know, you mentioned the tests there, and I think it was the president of Tanzania, and he tested a papaya fruit, and he tested motor oil, and he tested a goat, and he sent the test tubes back in, and they all came back positive. So it really literally is just, you know, they can make anything seem positive or negative. They can change it by doing the cycles. The more cycles they do, the more chance there is of it being positive. The less cycles they do, the more chances there are of it being negative. If you want to get rid of the pandemic, then just stop testing people. That's the way to do it. That's what China did. That's how China got rid of it. Getting back to the article here. So even if you run into your next door neighbor in the shopping center, don't start up a conversation. Now is the time for minimizing your interactions with others. And this brings up another point. You know, you've got the shopping centers there. You've got everybody walking around in the shopping center. You've got them picking stuff up, putting it back down again. And yet we're told that that's perfectly safe. It's perfectly safe to walk around in the shopping center because you've got your mask on. Never mind the fact that you've got two eyes there, which also will let in the virus, as well as the mask itself, which isn't sufficient to actually screen out the virus. And then they tell you, oh, well, it's to protect others. That's why you're wearing the mask, is just to protect others. But how is that going to work? How is that going to protect others if you've actually got the virus? Because the virus is going to be getting out from your mask, isn't it? And it's going to be getting in through their mask. All of it is ludicrous and doesn't actually make any sense. The whole point of it, I think, is they've looked at ways that they can capitalize on this. They can capitalize on it by bringing in the Great Reset. They can capitalize on it by bringing in these health passports, these vaccine passports, because that will be linked. Obviously, that's linked up to your phone, and that will tell them whose phone that is that belongs to them. That's just the minimum thing that will happen because of it. The maximum thing, of course, that will happen with it is that it will also be linked up to your bank account. It also means that all your medical records are on a central data bank, and that data can then be sold on. It's also an ID card. It also means that you can be tracked through that. I mean, all these security risks that you have on your phone that you untick the box to make sure that your phone is not a security risk. These vaccine passports get rid of all of that, and your phone suddenly becomes a massive security risk. So these are the reasons, I think, why they are continuing this. I think maybe they were originally a bit scared about it. They didn't quite know what it was, but once they realized what it was, they thought, and everybody had obeyed them and locked down and done everything that they were told, they thought, well, this is a good thing here for us. Why would we want to stop this? So they're just looking for ways that they can keep it going. Chant added, masks don't afford total protection, so residents must avoid talking to each other. and be absolutely sure that as we go about our daily lives, we do not come into contact with anyone else. That would pose a risk. So she's saying you shouldn't have any contact with anybody at all. You should just be completely isolated. And if you do meet anybody, you shouldn't talk to them. I mean, this is just a recipe for disaster, isn't it? If people actually obey this, then they're going to have no human contact whatsoever. They're going to get depressed. They're going to get suicidal. I mean, what is the point in living if you cannot be with the rest of your extended family? I mean, it's just torture, isn't it? She's just advocating torture. I think she must be a particularly bitter individual to even come out with a suggestion like this. Don't you think, Grandpa?
Oh, absolutely. What an old shrew. The thing is, when I remember when they started imposing these mask mandates, and being of a nature to not go along with such things, did never go along with the mask thing. I don't know how many people I had. They would argue and they say, well, what difference does it make? Just put the mask on. Just put the mask on. Then you can go to the store. You don't have to deal with the hassle. I would go into places that had big signs on the door. Mask required. You can't come in. I'd go in there without a mask. I'd dare them to say something. And 9 times out of 10, they wouldn't say shit. If they did say something, I'd turn around, walk out, go somewhere else. And most of the time, they just kind of look at you all sideways. The thing is, once you give up your dignity, once you give up authority over your own body, once you give up your rights, your fundamental God-given rights, they're not giving them back. They're demanding more. Now they're demanding that they have she's asserting they have the authority that you can even talk to. We think of the old Soviet Union, think, man, it was so horrible and it was so oppressive. They didn't tell people you're not allowed to talk to one another. We're always hearing in America about, oh, here in the West, and the West in general, we have all of this freedom. We're not like these backward places that have no freedom. Nobody in China is being told you're not allowed to talk. At what point? And see, like with the mask thing, never go along with it. And people said, what difference does it make? Well, this is the difference, because once you give it to them, they're not going to give it back. Does anybody at this point, again, I would remind everyone that we started with, this is a 2-3 week deal. We just don't want the hospitals to be overrun. Everybody's going to catch this, but we just can't have everybody going into the hospitals at once, which seemed reasonable as a reasonable sell. That seemed reasonable to the vast majority of people. Oh, okay, well, this is only going to be 2-4 weeks, and then everything flattens out. Everybody will catch it, be immune to it, and we can go on with our lives. But you see, when you give into that, now we're at the point of complete unreasonableness. You're not allowed to talk to one another. But see, you gave in on the mask. You gave in on this mandate. You gave in on that mandate. And now they're just dictating every aspect of your life. Again, the people have the power. The people have the power. You don't have to organize some kind of insurrection. You don't have to do shit. Everybody's just got to decide enough is enough. We're not doing it anymore. We're not going along with it anymore. It's an individual decision. And if enough people make that individual decision, this whole thing comes down. But as long as everybody's going to act like a damn sheep and go along with it, they're going to just keep taking more and more. It's never going to end. In fact, they're going to just demand more and more. It's hard to imagine what the next demand will be. I'm thinking, you know, I thought the whole thing with Canada that we talked about sometime back, Sven, where they were talking about stay safe from COVID, and they were talking about implementing glory holes in the bedroom or whatever. I thought that was ridiculous, but now we're at you can't talk to anybody.
You know, I think in China, the masks are just voluntary. I mean, it was literally 2 months after the start of it in Wuhan. They said nobody needs to wear masks anymore, and the prime minister or the chairman of China, he appeared without a mask right in the middle of Wuhan. And I've seen them having great big parties over there on New Year's Eve. They're having a whale of a time. They haven't had a problem with their economy at all. It's only in the West that they're keeping this going. Since the pandemic began, Australia has repeatedly staved off the spread of COVID-19 with some of the world's most draconian lockdown measures, in pursuit of driving new cases down to zero, even at the expense of civil liberties. Lockdowns have been reimposed recently as infections flared up again. In Melbourne, for instance, just about everything other than grocery stores and hospitals were shuttered for nearly 4 months, and the city ended its fifth lockdown last week. Alice Springs ordered a new lockdown in June after just one new infection was reported. And I'm quite surprised, really, at the critical tone of this, but this is actually coming from Russia Today, because I do hear that they have started to get quite persuasive over there in Russia, in Moscow. They're sort of forcing some people to get vaccinated after originally taking a little bit of a laid back view on it, just saying if anybody wants to get vaccinated, then come in and we'll vaccinate you. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you don't have to. And I do hear they are now starting to force people to do that in Russia. So it's good that RT appears to have this unbiased editorial policy here, and they're actually being critical of this. Grandpa, what do you make of these lockdowns that they're having in Australia? They're trying to get it down to zero, basically, apparently.
Which is impossible, especially when you factor in what we've covered already. They've admitted that the tests are fakeable. They've admitted it. Fauci himself said if you run it through enough cycles, every test will come out positive. We're just supposed to trust them that they won't run it through however many cycles to get the number that they want. We're in a situation now. They're telling people not to believe the reality that they're experiencing, but to trust them and the reality they're telling you exists. I saw it. Yeah, we were talking right before the show. I saw the U.S. Surgeon General, who looks like he just was dropped in from India, and he was having a serious press conference. And he says, with a straight face, he says, "I've had 10 family members die from this virus." Now, they must all be in India. I don't know, because I don't know anybody that's died of this virus. Now, I know people who have died who allegedly had the virus at the same time. But to sit here and say, oh, he's had 10 family members die from the virus. Does anybody know anybody that has any number of family members? One, more than one. Oh, well, reality isn't what you're experiencing. It's what we are telling you it is. Now, they're doing this in the name of safety. They say, oh, we got to save these lives. You've just pointed out they're acting like they want to get this down to zero. Now, for people that want to believe this is all totally real, we're all going to die from the deadly virus, I would just point out, one of the most dangerous things you can do is drive your car. I mean, it is a statistical fact that you can be in a car accident and it can very much be fatal. We know from real numbers, hard evidence, that people die every day. Any number of people die every day in car accidents. So if we want to keep everybody safe, we should outlaw cars. But we don't do that. Why do we not do that? Because we decide, you weigh the risks and the benefits, and you decide, well, the risk that we're going to lose a certain number of people are going to die. It's not if, it's they will. A certain number of people will die in car accidents. But we decide that the benefit of being able to drive around in a car is worth the risk, the sacrifice that some people are going to die in car accidents. Yet with this alleged virus, we're not given that at all. We're just told we have to get the numbers down to zero, because you have to surrender all your rights complete. And once you're down to surrendering autonomy over your own body and over your own mind and the decisions that you make, what is there left to surrender? Except maybe your soul.
Yeah, what is there left to surrender when you've been told you can't even speak to anyone? I mean, that's like being in solitary confinement, isn't it? Much like the White House's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci in the US, Chant has been championed by mainstream media outlets as a pandemic fighting hero. The Guardian referred to the doctor as unflappable and a secret weapon. She was named New South Wales Woman of the Year for 2021. I mean, this is incredible, isn't it? You know, New South Wales Woman of the Year. Did they take a vote of the people that lived in New South Wales whether they thought that she should be Woman of the Year? I bet this is just the mainstream media deciding that they want to lionize this woman because she is keeping the population down. I mean, this is what we see, isn't it? We see these people that are against the population, and the mainstream media will lionize them and make them out to be fantastic people. And when the population are against something, the mainstream media will say that the public opinion is that the population are for something. And they'll say, oh, there's public pressure that we need to do this. It's not public pressure. It's just media pressure. And I doubt very much whether there is anyone in South Wales that thinks this woman should be named Woman of the Year for 2021 if she's telling them all that they need to voluntarily put themselves into solitary confinement for the rest of for the foreseeable future. It is, because I don't see this virus going away anytime soon. It's a deceptor. zero as the target is, it just means that they're just going to have continual lockdowns, I think, in New South Wales. But social media critics were not charmed by her advice against having conversations. Unbelievable, TV presenter and author Tonya Buxton said. Don't behave like a human, forget humanity. Just do as you are told. British pop duo Right Said Fred suggested that Chant's statement revealed desperation on the part of government officials. They are either running out of time or they're going insane right in front of our eyes. Chant also called on residents to continue staying at home and to refrain from visiting friends and family. We need to consider whenever we leave our house that anyone with us, anyone we come into contact with, could convey the virus. I mean, she's really trying to terrify people here. I'm pleased to see Right Said Fred are coming out against the virus. We've also seen Eric Clapton saying that he's going to refuse to play anywhere that insists on vaccine passports. I think Ian Brown has said the same, possibly Roger Waters. I think there are more and more pop stars that are waking up to what is going on, which I find very encouraging, because, you know, the pop media and the rock media, they've always just sort of repeated what they're told to by the media for the last 20 or 30 years. Anyway, before that, they used to be quite rebellious. But recently, that they've just been used as mouthpieces for the establishment. So I do find it encouraging that more and more pop stars are speaking out against this. What are your final thoughts on all of this for today anyway, Grandpa?
Well, The Guardian may refer to her as unflappable. I don't know about that. I would definitely say unfappable. That's my off-color joke for the show today. I really do like the fact that you did the comparison to solitary confinement, because that's what it is, and it's worse, because a prisoner that's put in solitary confinement has no choice in the matter. They guards show up and they grab them and they escort them. They throw them in a cell and shut the door. You got no choice in the matter. But imagine a situation where you have a solitary confinement cell, but the door is open, and you yourself have to make the choice to march in there and isolate yourself. You have to obey. You have to dehumanize yourself. You have to degrade yourself to the point where you voluntarily isolate yourself and hide in the corner and wait for this ugly bitch to sit here and tell you when it could be okay for you to come out. Do people not have anything left in them? Do they not have any sort of, will to live left in them? I mean, they're selling this as some sort of scare tactic. But at some point in time, everybody's going to die. I would think people, even if you believed in all of this nonsense, which is obviously so absurd now, it's gone so over the top. I don't know how you'd buy into this. But even if you did, even if you thought there was a real danger that you could die from this thing, at some point you have to ask yourself, what's the point of living if you can't live with your dignity?
Well, if you live in Australia, you might have to live with it with a vow of silence if you live in New South Wales. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Don't forget that we have the Patriotic Alternative Film Club and Book Club starting on Sundays on the Radio Albion stream. So you will be able to catch that at 2 p.m. American time, 7 p.m. British time on Sunday. That's live on the video stream. It's also live on DLive and Odyssey and Entropy. So do check that out on Sunday, and it will be repeated on Monday. I will also be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.